This was the closest experience I have had to channeling as these entities spoke through me. There was a blind boy that had attached himself to BSI's and wanted assurance that he would be able to see before he willingly left with loved ones waiting for him in the light. There was Teresa who cried the saddest tears through my eyes, so afraid, so young, murdered at two or so. She had joined my daughter in the hospital when she was getting the chest X-ray during pneumonia. Teresa happily, easily left to join her mother in the light. There were several entities in B.S. stomach. One, the leader, was so angry and stubborn. I was surprised to find myself gritting my teeth and growling in obstinate anger as he spoke through me. This was a man who had been physically abused and literally kicked around all of his life. He said his name was Dave, but no one ever called him that. He had been called nasty, unkind names. When asked if he had heard about the light, he said, "Yeah, but I don't believe that shit." He was also reluctant and unwilling to go to the light, not believing there was anyone who ever loved him there. Barbara perceptively recognized that he had an entity or two within him. We exorcised them accordingly, a surly, nasty force that required help from the forces of Saint Michael and much encouragement. Finally, Dave was able to see an aunt he recognized in the light, the only person who had ever been nice to him in his life. He left to join her. During our dialogue, Dave said that upon dying in the hospital, he was frantic and panicked on finding himself out of his body. He floated around the hospital until he came across B. As she was having her arm surgery, he commented that she was the sweetest thing he had ever seen, and boom, that was it. He was inside her soft little tummy. The interesting thing here is that after B.S. surgery, she started gaining weight at an amazing rate. She had had quite a flabby overhanging stomach for the last 2 years that has concerned us greatly. I have been worried about the possibility of a developing eating disorder and asked the doctor about it. She was compulsive at times about food, and our attempts to curtail the excessive appetite had all failed. Since we released these several entities from her stomach, the area of greatest congestion, she has lost 8 pounds in less than a month and has grown 1/2 inch taller. She came home from school the day we did the depossession as happy and joyful as she had been in early childhood, and has remained that way ever since. I perceived a little flurry of negativity about 4 or 5 days after our initial session and told Barbara I thought there was something else there. We did one more session on her and found a dark one way down on the floor of her pelvis, hiding. It had been attached to Dave and had hidden when 38 Dave left for the light, hoping we wouldn't find him. Saint Michael and his angels easily convinced this one to go, and my daughter has been a sweet, delightful pleasure to be with every day since then. Situations that had been extremely difficult in the past and had led to lengthy, stubborn arguments and subsequent punishment are a breeze now. She is flexible, agreeable, relaxed, and so much happier. I must add that there was one spirit residing in her solar plexus that we encountered in our initial session named Anya's. She was very, very lethargic, had been sick for so long, and I feel that she was drugged. Her energy felt extremely slow and laid back in my body and mind as she spoke through me. Her doctor reached out to her from the light. She had been such a hypochondriac in life that he was the only one she trusted to tell her about the light. She took hold of his hands to go into the light. I was a little concerned about the call I had to make to the psychologist the week after we did this to cancel our appointment with him. I knew I wanted to tell him the truth and wanted to be careful how I selected my words so that he wouldn't think I was completely crazy. I told him I had done some remote healing work on her, that it had had such a profound effect that I didn't think we would be needing his services anymore. I called it spirit releasement. When he asked me to describe it, I did my best, using terms like light and darkness, etc. He was wonderful, understanding, delighted that this had worked, and asked if this wasn't kind of like shamanic soul 39 retrieval. What a relief. I loved him for it. Many thanks to you for ultimately teaching this to Barbara so that she could teach it to me. I dedicate myself to this work now. I use it in my hypnotherapy sessions. I can't believe I dare to bring it up, and it is being well received. I have also been doing this on my own in my daily meditations. I can usually see the person I'm working on quite clearly and have released an awful lot of unwanted entities into the light in the last 3 or 4 weeks. I have also read The Unquiet Dead, by Dr. Edith Forrest. In speaking to a couple of friends, I learned that they have been aware of this type of healing work a lot longer than I have. I feel like I have learned so very much this month. But the greatest proof of all this is my happy, sweet, joyful daughter. Finally, she can get on with her life of developing. It's a normal 8 1/2-year-old girl. She still has problems, still is not the most intelligent kid in her school class. But everything is so much more easily workable now. We weather through as things come up quite smoothly. I simply surround her with white light often. She is shining and thriving, thanks to your glorious work. Thank you. Respectfully yours, S. T. Certified Hypnotherapist 4041 Chapter 5 Where Do the Dark Ones Come From? Negative Thought Forms Fallen Angels Minions of Satan? There are several theories. There may be some truth in each of them. The theory that negative thoughts and emotions give rise to beings having a continuing existence after their creation, would answer the question, why are there so many dark beings? If each bit of pessimism, despondency, vindictiveness, bigotry, hatred, malicious gossip and desire for revenge creates one of these beings, their numbers are great enough to keep us busy rescuing them for a very long time. If they are fallen angels, it is logical to expect that there could be a finite number. Perhaps completing the job of rescue and reform is foreseeable. Instead, perhaps these are creations of a Satan, a prince of liars, the evil one or Lucifer who was cast out of heaven with his angels. A common view is that the evil one has as his purpose the taking over of the earth and its population. It seems reasonable to me that this one also has creative power, albeit the power of darkness, to create beings that are as slaves or servants to do whatever they are told to do. These beings need not to be intelligent, only obedient. The responses we get when we discover and dialogue 42 with these dark beings indicate a kind of hierarchy similar to that of a military organization. Orders from the commander must be followed. Orders may be passed on to those of lower rank and stature. There is an expectation of promotion or reward when an assignment is well completed. These rewards are seldom given. All orders or assignments are to be followed exactly without question. Dark ones are either led to believe that light does not exist or is to be avoided because it is dangerous, will burn or destroy them. They admit when questioned that they have been instructed to remain secret and hidden. They are threatened with severe punishment for failure to do their job or for being found. They fear the light, the threat of punishment and their commanders. Whatever their origin, they appear to exist in great numbers. I am inclined at this time to accept all three theories as responsible for producing some dark beings. Another concept is that the presence of one dark entity attached to a person generates the negative thinking that creates additional dark ones. This is an area for continued exploration and research. However, such a research cannot be made to fit the usual science paradigm. Remote depossession, as has been outlined and described here, is very effective. As other workers become involved in this work, I would expect that even more successful techniques will be developed. 43 Is this exorcism? This question can be answered both yes and no. It is exorcism in that the effect is to detect, dialogue with and release attached entities from their host. This method differs from the usual exorcism ritual in that the attached entity is not merely cast out of the host. This would be a little like removing nails from a flat tire and throwing them into the street where the original tire or a different one could pick them up again. Remote depossession, as described in this book, detects entities, classifies them as to their basic nature, educates them and convinces them to go to a proper place from which they will not return to cause further trouble. This may be a battle with the Prince of Darkness we are fighting. I find it pleasant to think of the victories we are achieving without violence or destructiveness. Instead, we are capturing the dark entities and leading them to the kind of transformation that changes them to become helper rescuers. How disconcerting it must be for the Lord of Darkness to observe his slaves, servants or warriors being lured away and trained to turn their energies toward his defeat. How long might it take before we capture all of the Dark Ones? We find that we have help when we call for it. Usually a few rescuers from Saint Michael's realm bring a net of light to enclose and contain the Dark Ones so that we can educate them. In difficult situations, I have seen Dr. Bill Baldwin call on many saints, Mary, Jesus and even the spirits of the whales and dolphins. The vast number of Dark Ones suggests to me that 44 they are being continually created in the dark realms and have been sent to cause all kinds of pain, trouble and difficulty in order to enable their leader to gain control of the world. It seems to me that we have allowed these dark beings and gain a larger measure of influence or control by failing to recognize their presence and intent. Even many of our theological leaders have discarded the idea of evil. They seem to have forgotten that Jesus cast out many unclean spirits and demons. He advised us to do as he did. Nearly 2,000 years later, we are just getting started. Although scripture make no mention of the place these beings were sent by Jesus, it seems safe to assume that he sent them directly to the light. 45 Chapter 6 Varieties of Cases. There is wide variation in the kinds of problems we have treated by the method of remote depossession. Each person's problems are unique and must be handled with care and sensitivity. Attached entities are able to produce physical discomfort or malfunction, can disturb relationships, interfere with successful lives, retard development in children and can produce or enhance mental or emotional illnesses. The following cases have been chosen to show this wide variation in the kinds of problems in which remote depossession has been beneficial. A child going blind. This girl, aged 11, was losing her eyesight because her eyeballs were growing soft. Traditional medical treatment had had no beneficial effect. We found that a part of the problem was from a former life in which she was sacrificed at age 11 in a ritual fire ceremony. This memory had contributed to the problem. Also attached to her were a number of spirits of other children who had been sacrificed in the same way. We freed the attached children to the light and communicated with the high self of the girl with the softening eyes that she need not react to the fire in this life, that the eyes had been burned in another life. Almost immediately after this procedure, her eyes began to improve. 46 The Dying Professor. In March of 1992, a friend who teaches at Northeast Missouri State University in Kirksville, where I live, asked that we do a remote for a colleague, Ed C., who was critically ill. The story she told us was that Ed had developed breathing problems so severe that he had required mechanical assistance for several weeks. Her information included the doctor's inability to determine the cause of the breathing distress, or find any helpful therapy. The available information indicated that the doctors were unable to help Ed return to health and that death could be expected within days. Scott Herner, of Scandia, Minnesota, was visiting me the day of the request. He had been the instrument for quite a number of remotes and readily consented to checking out Ed. Scott was hypnotized, his inner wisdom was consulted and the proposed scanning of Ed was approved. Scott sent a portion of his consciousness to the University Hospital in Columbia, Missouri, 90 miles south, and located Ed. Scott was able to describe Ed's appearance accurately. We asked permission of Ed's high self to scan him for the possible presence of entities. Permission was granted. Scott scanned Ed's body and found several entities. The dominant one was located in Ed's chest, a man who had died of emphysema and had joined Ed more than 15 years earlier. This entity's presence had gradually weakened Ed's lungs, resulting in the increased breathing difficulty. When Ed became so ill that he was admitted to the hospital, he was invaded by three additional 47 Earthbounds who had recently died in that hospital. One was a girl whose death had resulted from a drug overdose. The other two were victims of other illnesses. The entry of these three entities had caused a marked increase in the severity of Ed's symptoms. All four of these entities present were rather easily persuaded to leave Ed and go to the light. We then asked the healing angels to fill the vacated spaces in Ed with healing light. Within less than an hour from the time we did this depossession, Ed began to improve. Within 2 months he was back at work. His health continues to be good. Ed has given me permission to use his name in telling this story. Although I have full permission, I have chosen to use the correct first name and an initial to spare him some of the derision from probable skeptics who might read this book. When Scott and Ed met face to face for the first time in August of 1993, there was immediate recognition by Scott. The nurse with painful shoulders. One of my nephews from California visited me during the summer of 1991. He had never been hypnotized before, but when told him what I had been doing with remote depossession, he asked me to hypnotize him to see if we could find the reason for persistent pain in his wife's shoulders that had defied all attempts both to diagnose and treat it. He located his wife, a school nurse, 2,000 miles away, found and removed entities from her shoulders. The pain left at about the hour we did the procedure and did not recur. 48 The boy and his crayons. A boy of 5 in Ohio, who had been near death from spinal meningitis at age 18 months, was scanned remotely from Missouri. After his severe illness he had seemed to develop normally in every way except one. He was in nursery school where the use of pencils and crayons was common. This child, however, would only run the pencil or crayon in and out through his fingers and had never made a mark on paper. His grandmother was visiting me. She, under hypnosis, sent a piece of her consciousness 700 miles, scanned her grandson, located and freed a feeble-minded child who had died in the same hospital when this boy was ill and had attached to him. The next week, the grandson was voted Artist of the Week at the nursery school. This could have been a coincidence or it could have been the result of our work. Unfortunately, there is no certain way to determine this. I choose to think that our work was responsible for the change. The naughty girl. Another grandmother requested a remote depossession of her 6-year-old granddaughter who had misbehaved so badly that she was no longer permitted to ride the school bus and was at the point of suspension from school for refusal to follow rules. When she was sent to the principal's office, she would kick and scratch the principal. This was one of the more difficult cases, but after 2 sessions using remote techniques with 2 different scanners, she showed a definite change toward being happy, 49 and self-controlled. The mental hospital patient. A friend requested a remote depossession for her mother who was in a mental hospital in New York State and had deteriorated to the point that she seemed not to remember her daughters and refused to talk to them. After the procedure, during which we found and removed several entities, both earthbound and demonic, she improved remarkably and was soon being considered for discharge. The difficult supervisor of nursing. Depossession has also been helpful in improving troubled relationships. A nurse I know in Manila told me of having a supervisor who had at first been very kind and helpful, then suddenly had become quite the opposite. We did a remote scanning of the supervisor and found 2 earthbound attached entities, relatives who had died at about the time of her change of manner. We released these 2 to the light and the supervisor returned again to her former kindness of manner. It appears that there are no limits to what can be done by this method. It is exciting to think about the possibilities. Perhaps we can reverse patterns in people who are troubled, criminal, ill or those falling short of their potential by removing entities that are interfering. 5051 Chapter 7 Questions and Answers Is Spirit Attachment Real? The concept of entity attachment or possession is repugnant to many people. Such thought must of necessity include the idea of death, an idea so unpleasant that it is practically taboo. In recent years, research studying people who have had a near-death experience has produced a great body of evidence completely compatible with itself as to the nature of the dying experience. Ever-growing numbers of reports of people, including children, who have been pronounced dead and then returned to life support the concept that though the body appears to be dead, there is a non-physical, entity, part that can and does function outside of and apart from the body. this non-physical self can see, hear, smell, think, wish and manifest increased awareness while outside their body. These functions do not require a brain and invalidates much of the right brain-left brain concept that is so popular. Popularity of an idea does not give it value and validity. Refusal to accept a valid concept does not destroy its value. Either we survive bodily death or we do not. Our survival is not dependent upon anyone's belief. Either spirit possession does take place or it doesn't. Truth is not dependent upon acceptance. If spirit attachment is real, then it is important that we learn about every aspect, learn how to detect 52 and properly remove any intruding or trespassing entities. Failure to understand this possibility greatly limits our helpfulness in dealing with maladies of various degrees of severity which are caused or complicated by the presence of trespassing entities. Proper understanding of possession and the use of appropriate remedial techniques including remote depossession has the potential of producing worldwide transformation. One effect that attached entities have on us is that they appear to make our decisions for us. It is my understanding that, whenever we allow someone else, living, dead or demonic, to make our choices, we are abdicating and thereby weakening our choice-making equipment. A good way to decrease our vulnerability to entity attachment is to consistently make all of our own decisions, being willing to accept the consequences of any wrong choice we may make. Entities are unlikely to attach to someone who will not be controlled. How long does IT take to learn remote depossession? I can only compare this question to a similar one: how long does it take to learn to drive a car, or cook a meal or play the piano? Individual talent and application levels are so varied that there can be no rigid answer to such a question. Among the ones I know who are doing this work, there are a few with only minimal training but much natural talent and previous training and experience with hypnosis who are doing very good work. I-53 had been involved in hypnotherapy since 1950 when I received training in spirit releasement in May of 1989 during 3 one-day workshops in my home in a period of 11 days. These workshops were taught by Dr. Bill Baldwin. I began using the techniques cautiously and found them rather easy to follow and the success level high both with the remote process and when dealing directly with an afflicted person. As with any skill, both practice and additional training sharpens our ability and builds our confidence. There will be some who will begin working at remote depossession just by reading this book. The techniques are simple enough that for a few, no further training will be required. However, I recommend that anyone involved get any additional training available. Ideally, the depossession therapist would be thoroughly trained and experienced in directive hypnotherapy, non-directive hypnotherapy and past life therapy as well as spirit releasement or depossession. How badly is this work needed? We do not know of a certainty how many people's lives are complicated even destroyed by the effects of attached entities. Dr. Edith Farr, author of The Unquiet Dead, has stated that she estimates about 70% of those who seek her psychological counseling have attached entities. Other estimates go higher. I would expect to find entities in 99% of those addicted to drugs or alcohol and nearly as high a percentage for the tobacco addict. It is probable that dark entities are contributing to many if not all criminal or violent acts. It is 54 likely that most, possibly all, victims of childhood or other abuse would have attachments. The perpetrators of the abuse are also probable hosts to dark entities. This adds up to a huge number of people who could and would benefit from remote depossession since many people who need to be freed from the effects of attached entities do not seek help. There are still so few people trained in this work that even those who do seek help find it difficult to find someone who is doing spirit releasement either directly for the troubled one or by remote techniques. Whenever I lecture or give training workshops on this topic, the requests for help far outstrips the time we have to treat them. There are also frequent phone and mail requests for remote depossession. The urgency I feel to train as many workers as possible is compelling. I cannot even imagine that there could be a surplus of workers doing remote depossession work. WHO are the forces of St. Michael? This question, like several others, gives rise to speculative answers. One possibility is that some are of angelic origin whose duty it is to assist Saint Michael. It appears that many of these forces are former dark entities who have been reformed, or transformed, from troublemakers to helpers. When I am confronting and dialoguing with a dark entity, I tell them to communicate with the rescuers asking of their past nature and present existence. The answers are always consistent. Some of the rescuers will report that they were once dark beings working under orders of an evil boss or 55 commander, that they were rescued and have been trained to come to rescue other dark entities. Some even admit to being very bad in the past until they learned a better way. They may add that they no longer feel fear of punishment. Asking dark attached entities to question those who have enclosed them in a net of light has been very helpful. Many dark beings have been skeptical or suspicious of my words, but seem more willing to believe or accept the statements of Saint Michael's troops. Can released entities return to their host? The possibility is present. Anything can happen. However, it is most unlikely that they would do so. The earthbound entities who go to the light find it far more pleasant than staying attached to a living person or hanging around a place or object. Once they go to this wonderful place, there is no desire to return except for brief visits from time to time. Neither do dark entities choose to return. Once they are freed from their commanders and fear of the pit, the place of punishment, they would hardly select to return to that former status. Once training is complete, they are able to join others of Saint Michael's forces to help rescue other dark ones. Traditional exorcism emphasizes only that the attached entity must depart from the host, but does not send these entities to a place where they will want to stay. Entities just cast out could most likely re-enter their former host or the body of 56 someone else. Is remote depossession therapy dangerous? This question too has various answers. Some workers in this field feel that a special ritual filling the room with the image or visualization of light together with special prayers is a prerequisite to doing spirit releasement. I see this differently. It seems to me that such ritual is chosen by those who expect some sort of danger or trouble. This to me is negative thinking. We tend to experience whatever we expect. I do not expect trouble. So far there has been no trouble. I am certain that the power of light is much stronger than any dark power. I am convinced that the dark entities are functioning out of fear and that we humans have dominion over them. They must do as we say, but at times persuasion is required before they fully realize our dominion. This may require being assertive, even aggressive at first. As each of the dark ones begin to make the choice to go with the rescuers, I treat them with gentleness and compassion. Whereas their opening comments in our dialogue may include rudeness, vulgarity or profanity, they always lose this behavior during the session and often thank me for helping them. Earthbound entities usually go willingly as soon as they realize that they have the choice. Only one has indicated a desire to harm 57. Their host, a slave in a former life, was seeking revenge. As for any danger to the person being scanned, I see no possibility. There could conceivably be times when the attached entity failed to leave, though this has not happened in the cases I know about. There are absolutely no undesirable side effects of remote depossession. I usually have rosary prayer beads present, not to avoid trouble, but to keep connected with our primary rescuer, Lilith/Eve/Mary, who gave us the rosary. What is life all about? The statements in this section are basically from material produced by Edgar Cayce while he was in deep hypnosis. I have modified it somewhat based on my own experience. We were all created at the same time on the sixth day of creation to be companions and co-creators with deity. We were given a bit of divine creative power and the free will, allowing us to choose how that creative power would be used. Very early we began to misuse this creative power and to forget our purpose. All of these events are a part of our permanent memory record at a deep level. We remember existing in paradise without bodies, remember our first terror, our first pride and rebellion. Our inner wisdom also remembers and longs to return. It is our inner wisdom that will lead us back again if we listen to it. 10 billion souls became so disturbing, prideful and rebellious that it became necessary for us to be banished to the equivalent of Devil's Island, the Earth. It is my understanding that the banishment was intended to be permanent.